Well, good morning again. Have you guys been blessed so far by this service? Man, I know I have. I'm ready to go home. Not buying it, huh? All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, thank you for your kindness towards us and for your mercy upon us. Thank you for taking care of our every need. Now, Lord, as we turn to your word with an intention to share a message from you, I pray, God, that you will cleanse my heart and use me as your vessel so that the words spoken will be your words, not mine. This I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I got to tell you, I was surprised at Charlie's children's story. Was anybody surprised? I'm going to tell you what surprised me. Craig, the last time I did children's story, I had to have security, four deacons with me. They were everywhere. And I'm standing back there thinking, why are they just sitting and listening? What's wrong with these kids? Yeah. Great job. And for everyone that has blessed us this morning, I'll tell you what. You have no idea how I wish I could sing. And I asked God, why not, Lord? And he hadn't answered yet. But, man, that is such a beautiful gift when you can sing praises to God so effortlessly. Beautiful. His providence. What is that? His providence. Can you wake him up for me? Hey. At least give me 10 minutes. All right. His providence. God takes care of us. God meets our needs. God knows what's happening. And he is in control. You hear what I'm saying? His providence. Appreciate Gavin reading that scripture. Let's read verses 11 to 13. And this, I believe, is a New International Version. It says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's interesting when I look at a scripture and transparency. That's kind of how it works. Dawn says, Marcus, you have a scripture yet? I got to pass this out to somebody soon so they know what they're reading. So the message starts with the scripture. And I've heard Philippians 4:12, Philippians 4:13. For decades, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You guys ever heard that? People have it on the bumper stickers on the car. It's on plaques on the wall at home. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Have you ever contemplated the context of that verse? What was he talking about? And then you read a little bit before, a little bit after, and you see that. Think about this. Paul, at first, was not a Christian. He was imprisoning them and killing them. And then he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his life changes. And Paul, even though he was a learned man and could have gone far in Rome, he chose to follow Christ instead, knowing that people like he was were going to come after him the way he was going after people, right? So he had plenty, and then he had nothing. He chose to serve God and just travel from town to town, from country to country, not having a job, not having a direct deposit, not knowing where the next meal is coming from, but trusting in the providence of God, right? And he's exhorting the church that, look, I've been there. I've experienced it. I've had plenty. I've had nothing. I've learned how to be content through Christ. And I've learned that anything is possible if I just trust in His strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How's life nowadays? That's personal reflection there. How's life going nowadays? Andrew, everything is groovy? No, it's not. Who are you in church? Tell the truth. Not just you, all of us. I'll tell you something I've always felt. If life is easy, I'm in trouble. If I don't face some adversity, then the devil has me where he needs me, and he's going to get back to me later. He's after one of you guys, right? But when I face challenges, I know that I'm living in a world of sin, and the devil is after me because I have chosen to follow Christ. And he's going to hurl every dart at me. He's going to try to tear my name down, take away whatever I have, discourage me. So I look at Christ and think, what's happening here? You said you would take care of me. He's trying to discourage me every day. He's trying to discourage you every day. Does he do that when you turn 32? Wake up, cameraman. You got to follow me. Does he do that when you're 32? No, Andrew. He messes with you in school. I'm telling you. When you're 15, 16 years old, it's a whole different kind of I'm going to mess with you. When you're 36, 37, it's a whole different kind. When you're 55, you're not going to duck from that bat the way Charlie did because you're not getting back up, right? You're going to roll over. Young people, nobody understands what you have to endure day by day. Your parents don't get it, do they? Because listen, nobody beat me up when I was in school. Standing here in school at 6'3", nobody beat me up. Hey, don't laugh at me. Right? We all got bullied in school. We all got beat up. We all got laughed at because we talked about Jesus. We all got laughed at because we wouldn't use the cuss words. Huh? It's not just y'all. You can almost call it a rite of passage. So you face your challenges, and then some of you guys face different challenges. Look, you work an honest job. And you pay your taxes. Well, they take your taxes. They're just trying to keep you honest, right? They take your taxes. And then you pay a tithe. And you take care of your family. And you remain loyal. And you try to walk the straight and narrow. And what happens? You know what happens because it happens to you, right? The employee that kisses up to the boss, they like him. And you seeing something is wrong and saying it's wrong, how dare you? And you got labeled. And now the persecution begins. You know? And then as you get a little older, it's a whole different set of challenges, right? You work all your life, you retire, you know? And then what? I hadn't met a 72-year-old yet that climbed Mount Everest after retirement. Yeah, your health just goes down the tubes, and all your money now it goes on medical, right? And medical isn't that great. When you look at your Social Security and your Medicare, it's not in step with inflation, and you just can't even afford to live, it seems. It's terrible. It's terrible. But everybody faces a different group of challenges. Oh, somebody's going to be preaching. Everybody faces a different set of challenges, but they're not unique challenges. Because, you know, here's the thing. as a people that don't want to stay here, as a people that want to go home, right? You don't plant deep, deep roots here. And you're also not going to be selfish and just do like I intended to do and go kind of live in a remote area all by myself and fish and listen to country music. You instead decide to make the sacrifice and take care of others. The Great Commission, right? Go ye therefore into every land, teaching every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission. And we take this charge and say, it's not about me, it's about him. And he's charged me with taking care of my fellow man. And when you make that stand, the selfish others think, ooh, look at Goody Two Shoes. Ooh, look at Holier Than Thou. When you are obedient to God and things go wrong, when you are obedient to God and bad things happen, how can you trust that God has a plan and is working things out for you? How can you trust Jeremiah 29:11? I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. How do you trust that when bad things are happening all around you and to you? Well, let's take a quick look at the life of Joseph. You guys know about the patriarchs in the Bible? You know about the prophets? You know about the kings? Well, look at one patriarch, Joseph, just for a little bit. I say for a little bit. Who's flashing the lights at 15-minute increments? Somebody's got to flash those lights so I know I'm running on, right? And for our visitors, you are allowed to play the card at the one-hour mark. I'm kidding. I got to go home and feed the dog. I got to let the dog out, and you can leave. No. I'm going to try to move this along as quick as I can, but there's a lot to talk about when you look at the life of Joseph. He was innocent, yet he was wrongfully punished, persecuted, and abandoned. Do you agree with that? He was innocent. He was just a boy. Had this cool coat on, all his colors and everything. Come see the brothers. Hey, bro, how y'all doing out here? Well, I was in the air conditioner with Pop in the tent while y'all out here sweating. But, you know, I had this dream that all of you guys going to bow to me. Crazy, right? There he was, just innocent, doing his thing. Yet we know the story about Joseph. He got snatched. He got sold into slavery. He got accused. All kinds of stuff happened to poor Joseph. Poor Joseph. You guys know the story, right? Okay. Because, you know, I'll take an extra 30 minutes and tell you the story. Okay. Who else do you know was innocent yet wrongfully accused? Jesus. Who else do you know was persecuted? Jesus. Who else do you know was abandoned? Jesus. There's a lot of similarities in the lives of God's people and the Son of God and you guys here today. So I got to ask you, when you think and reflect on the life of Joseph, just a teenager gets snatched and sold into slavery and taken away. Do you guys sometimes feel abandoned? Ron? You have to answer. I'm just saying, hey, how you doing? Do you guys feel lost sometimes? So as if it wasn't bad enough that his own brothers sold him as a slave, right? As if it wasn't bad enough. He gets placed in Potiphar's house. He's captain of the guard. That's not a bad job, right? And then Potiphar's wife tries to take advantage of the situation. And Joseph, what does Joseph do? I'm not going to dishonor my master who has been good to me. I'm not going to dishonor God. He takes the high road. And what happens? What happens to all of us in this world? When you stand for Christ, you are persecuted. He was grabbed. He was lied about. He probably got that speedy trial. He got thrown in jail and forgotten about, abandoned again. That's Joseph, right? And while he's in there, a couple of dudes come in. Who? The butler, the baker. They had their dreams, and they talked to Joseph, and Joseph said, I know a dude. Jesus, let me go talk to him. I'm going to come back and see you tomorrow. And he tells them, in 3 days, I'm sorry, you're going to lose your head. In 3 days, cupbearer, you're going to be tasting the wine again for the king. And what happens in 3 days? Exactly as God revealed to him, this is what happened. And what does the cupbearer do when he gets back in the king's presence? Abandoned him again. Boy, Joseph had some abandonment, didn't he? I tell you, that guy probably needs some counseling. Man. But listen to this. After God gave Joseph dreams of greatness, did God give Joseph dreams of greatness? Yeah. He gets grabbed and thrown into a slave caravan. He gets taken to a foreign land. He gets lied to. He gets thrown in jail. All this stuff happens. What about God's great plan? What about the plan where I would be the leader and my brothers would bow to me? What about that, Lord? What happened? You promised me that if I follow you, you would take care of me. You promised me that if I serve you, nobody can touch me. Don't you read that kind of stuff in the Bible when you read? If God is for me, who can be against me? Chris Tomlin. Okay. Huh? Yet, why is this happening to Joseph after he received visions that it wasn't going to be like that? OMG. Right? I mean, Joseph was not endowed with any special superpowers. You hear what I'm saying? That's interesting. As I was working on this message, the life of Joseph is so interesting, so amazing, so sad, so wrong, and then so great, you know? But Joseph didn't have any special powers. You think about Samson. He killed 3,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. That's a big dude, right? You think Elijah. He laughed at 450 prophets, and then he calls fire down from heaven, and it comes down. Elijah, what did Joseph do? He didn't have any special powers. Why are we even talking about him? Why don't we talk about one of the cool patriarchs? Joseph was regular. He grew up in a regular home with a regular dad. But he grew up in a home with a father who taught him from experience that when you trust God, God will always be in your corner. Did Jacob have a story to tell? Come on now, is everybody already asleep? Did Jacob not have a story to tell? That's a sermon we preached before, the wrestling match, you remember? He had quite a bit going on in his life, so he was experienced to be able to teach his son about life application lessons, about trusting God and knowing that God will deliver in the end. Doesn't mean he's not going to face challenges. Doesn't mean his brother Esau wasn't trying to kill him. Doesn't mean that Laban deceived him twice and he had worked 21 years just to get the woman he loved. Doesn't mean you're not going to face these challenges, these trials. But in the end, God has set forth a blueprint in his word that tells us if we are faithful to him, he will be faithful to us. The road may not be easy. Matter of fact, the road will not be easy. But if we are faithful to God, God will be faithful to us. And he taught this to his children. He taught this to Joseph. And Joseph did not forget this when he was all alone, going through all of this trouble and upheaval in his life. He remembered. There's no other explanation, no other way that we can account for why he would go through as a young man all of these challenges, yet still remain firm and obedient to God. So how did Joseph prepare himself for what lay ahead? because he didn't know it was coming down the pipe. How did he prepare himself to deal with this? He remembered, as I said, the account of God's faithfulness to Jacob, his father. Jacob was exiled. When he deceived Pops, what was his name, Isaac, he had to leave because Esau was gunning for him. He was exiled. Here is Joseph, exiled, a slave in a foreign land. Not that different from what Dad went through, right? How did he prepare himself for this? Through constant communion with his heavenly Father. Dad taught him, but through constant communion, communication, and prayer, he could face anything. Doesn't mean he's not going to be upset. Doesn't mean he's not going to be sad. Doesn't mean he's not going to be beat down. But he knows how to face it in Christ. In the book Prophets and Kings on page 217, it tells us Joseph's prosperity and success was not the result of a direct miracle. But rather, and this is interesting, his industry, care, and energy were crowned with the divine blessing. What is Miss Ellen G. White telling us here in this book? Well, I read a story, I'm sure you've heard it probably 50 times, about a priest in a town, probably some Irish town, I don't know. And a hurricane was coming, flood was coming, and everybody had to evacuate. You guys heard the story? And everybody's leaving, and he's staying with the church, right? Everybody's gone. And then the waters start to rise. You remember it. The waters start to rise. And a guy comes by with his horse and his cart and says, "Father, hop in. I'll take you to safety. I'm going to safety now. This water's coming." "No, you go ahead, son. Thank you. But God will save me," right? And boy, those waters kept rising. Now he climbs up to the bell tower. And then a boat comes along hours later with a few people and said, "Father, we got room for one more. Come on, we'll take you to safety." Kind, very kind, but that's okay. God will save me, right? And by nightfall, everybody was gone. It's pitch black. He's on the roof, hanging on to that cross that's up there on the roof. And he's crying, "God, what's happening here? Are you going to save me?" And then all of a sudden, a blinding light on his face. Kind of sounds cliche, right? It wasn't God. It was a helicopter with a spotlight. And the guy on the horn, "Hey, whoever you are, hang on. We're going to throw you a rope, and we'll pull you up to safety." Nah. "I'm a man of God, and God will save me. You guys go ahead." What do you think happened a couple hours later? He drowned. This is not Mickey Mouse and Daffy Duck. This is the real world. He drowned. So he goes to heaven. It's not real. It's a story. And he's mad at God. "I served you my whole life. I did everything you asked of me. I sacrificed. I took care of people. I practically lived in that church. I wasn't even going to abandon it. I stayed there and I died there. What is your deal?" And God said, "Well, you see, I tried 3 times to save you, and you turned it down yourself." And the moral of the story is, we're always looking for that flash of light where God performs a miracle and pulls us out and we look like the hero Christian. But I'm going to tell you, God sends people in our path to minister unto us. God sends people who didn't know they were going to come minister to us, didn't know what was going on in our lives, but somehow they cross our paths and things change for us. If we are willing to accept that God puts people in our lives for our good. But no, we're going to say, "Nope, I'm going to be like John the Baptist. I'm going to be in the wilderness. And when I need something, God is going to just send it direct to me." He sends it indirectly sometimes. He still sent it, you know? So, let's jump back to the story. How am I looking on time? I hadn't seen a flash of light yet. So I'm like 12 minutes into this, right? But every 15 minutes, they're supposed to dip the light. So I'm like, oh, I got to hurry up. The light man isn't doing his job today. Oh, come on. All right, then. So Pharaoh had two dreams, right? He saw some cows come up, seven fat cows. Then he saw some more cows come up, seven lean cows, seven skinny cows. And what happens? Them seven skinny cows eat up them seven fat cows. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm going back to bed. And he has another dream. Seven big stalks, ears, whatever, of corn. Oh, it's looking so good with the green and the yellow. I love it. And then seven withered stalks, and they eat up the good ones. So he wakes up like, what in the world is this nonsense about eating all the good stuff? I'm going to the fridge. No, that was not in the Bible. He doesn't know what it means. The wise men in his kingdom don't know what it means. The magicians don't know what it means. Is this starting to remind you of Daniel chapter 2? Nebuchadnezzar's dream? Nobody knows. So, is that another reminder to hurry up? Okay, so he has these dreams. What happens next? Remember that cupbearer kid that got spared? He went back to the courts of Pharaoh. He said, my bad, Joseph. I was supposed to check on you, brother. I totally forgot. Pharaoh, I met this dude while I was in jail, you know, and he told me I'll be back here and that the baker, you were going to take his head off. And you know what? Stuff happened just like that. Why don't we call him? I think his name was Joachim or Joseph. Yeah, Joseph. And they called Joseph up. Joseph, I hear you can interpret dreams. What does this mean? Joseph says, again, in the spirit of Daniel, I can't do anything, but I serve a God who can do everything. Let me talk to him. I got a guy. Let me talk to him. I'm going to come back to you. And he gives the interpretation of the dreams. You're going to have seven good years, seven amazing years like you never had before. But then you're going to have seven bad years. And it's going to make them seven good years look like, oh, my goodness. Right? That's what's coming down the pipe. So what I suggest you do, Mr. Pharaoh, get one of your sharp dudes, one of your generals. Start building barns, building storehouses. Let's just get everything we can. Put a small tax on the crops. It's for the good of people because they're going to need it in 7 years, I promise you. And Pharaoh says, what? I'm asking you so I make sure you're awake. You interpreted the dreams through your God. You seem like a man I can trust. I'm putting you in charge of this project to save us all. I'm putting you in charge of this, right? Seven fat cows, seven skinny cows, seven ears of corn. What's with all the sevens? That sound familiar, huh? Remember the book of Revelation? Seven branch candlesticks, seven bowls, seven scrolls. Y'all want to hear about the seven? Come back next week, I'll tell you. Joseph was in a good place when he was at home. He was in a good place with Jacob, his dad, Israel, and with his little brother, Benjamin. He was happy. He was in a good place, right? Then he was in a bad place. He got sold as a slave. He got accused wrongfully. He got thrown in jail. He got forgotten all about. Then he got back to a good place. Pharaoh said, next to me, you're in charge of everything. Hey, that's like coming out of the Mark Stiles unit and getting put in the White House as a vice president. Maybe that's not the best example. Never mind. So he was in a good place again, right? Second most powerful man in Egypt. Joseph couldn't see it while he was a slave with the caravan, ropes tied on his hands, following behind a camel. He couldn't see that. He couldn't see it when he was trying to be obedient to God. And he was attacked and thrown in jail. He couldn't see it. Charlie, he couldn't see that he was about to be just second in command to Pharaoh himself. You know how crazy that is? That's something else. But he couldn't see it as he was going through all of this. He just couldn't see it. He didn't see it even when Pharaoh looked in his eyes and said, you're that man. You take charge of my kingdom. Except from me alone, nobody is going to have as much power and authority as you. He couldn't see it then either. What couldn't he see? We're getting there. But he saw it. What is it? He saw it when, by God's providence, people from all around the world, I've been yelling too much. When by God's providence, people from all around the world came to Egypt, hungry, starving, and he had the ability to save their lives. You hear what I'm saying? He had the ability to prevent little children from starving to death. He couldn't see that while he was sitting in prison, being persecuted. He couldn't see that even when he was building these barns and storehouses. He couldn't see the providence of God working in his life, preparing him for that very moment to be able to save the lives of his own brothers and his father. He couldn't see the providence of God until that point. You hear what I'm saying? But he saw it when Reuben and the rest of them dudes show up. Y'all know the story. And bend a knee to the king, or the right-hand man of the king. The dream where the sheaves bowed to his. He doubted and he questioned and he wrestled with this idea that God gave me this vision of greatness and I ended up in prison. I end up a slave. I end up lied about. I end up with nothing. He couldn't see it. How could that dream even come to me? And here's where I am. Yet in the end, yet when it's all said and done, those very brothers that sold him into slavery bowed the knee to him as God had given him a vision. He saw it when God brought him face to face with Jacob, with Israel, his beloved father, and with his younger brother, Benjamin. It says he wept. He saw the providence of God, the leading in his life, the guidance, the protection, the preparation. He finally could see it. The songwriter penned an old Negro spiritual, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen." Let me sing this to you. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to sing this to you. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. You hear that? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Glory, hallelujah. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Oh, yes, Lord. Sometimes I'm almost to the ground. Oh, yes, Lord. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. I'm going to tell you today, in wrapping up, God knows where you are right now. God knows what you're facing, Charlie, right now. God sees your fear and your concern. That's right, Susan. I'm talking to you. God knows your fears and your concerns. God knows the pain that you're going through, and God knows your needs today. In the end, Joseph rose to greatness and thought he could judge his brothers. He could be harsh to them. He could throw all of them in prison now. Yet he chose to what? Forgive them. Wipe the slate clean. not even remember what they did to him. Because he could see it was necessary. It was a part of God's plan. God allowed it to happen. Even through their meanness, they were a part of the plan. He forgave them and welcomed them with open arms. Today, it's sad, but I witness even in our own congregation, unrest. Leaders and congregants alike pointing the finger, picking fights, accusing, walking away without forgiveness in the moment, letting the sun go down on their anger right here in our own church. The very thing we believe and we preach against, in our human weakness, we let our emotions get the better of us, and we are victims of the same thing. Just because I come to church doesn't mean I'm holy and righteous. We always say, this is a hospital for sinners. Put me up on the fifth floor. Kind of half crazy, right? Why are you laughing at me? We preach about humility. We preach about a simple lifestyle. We preach about putting God first. We preach about it's you, it's not about me. Yet we're always worried about our image and our position and our opinion. And we end up fighting over that. Where is your godliness? Where is your right attitude? Why can't I remain true and upright like Joseph did? Look, Joseph did experience discouragement. He went through the woe is me when he was in prison. But he never left God. Understand this. He cried, but he never left God. So where is my walk as I think about the life of Joseph, the patriarch? Am I standing firm on the rock? Am I walking the straight and narrow? Am I taking the darts hurled at me graciously? Why is it that sometimes you are unable to distinguish me, a Christian, from my coworkers? I'm hitting hard, huh? Was that under the belt? I speak the truth. Sometimes you can't tell me apart from the guys at work. You hear what I'm saying? Yet, you should always be able to pick me out in a crowd. There's that Jesus guy. You know, I walked past him this morning, he said blessings. What is that about? Right? Though you're downtrodden today, anybody here downtrodden? Yeah. Though you are downtrodden today, God has a day in mind when you are going to rise like the proverbial phoenix from the ashes. Okay? Your day-to-day and your month-to-month distress is going to fall off of your shoulders. God will put you in a place where financially, socially, spiritually, you're going to be okay. What are you going to do then? Are you going to look back at the ones that held you down and say, pay time, payback, payday? Or are you going to be like Joseph and let it go and open arms and just welcome everybody in humility saying, I don't even deserve to be here. I don't even deserve to be in the right place. I'm just a sinner. Why is God blessing me so much? How dare I not bless you instead of accusing you? So like Paul, if you say that you've been brought low and you have abounded with plenty, but you've learned the secret, like Paul, you've learned the secret, how to be content with absolutely nothing, or if God blesses you with more than you need, but you've learned the secret. I promise you I'm closing. The choristers can start walking up. You've learned the secret of how to face the low and how to be steady in the high. That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You cannot strengthen yourself. I cannot strengthen myself. We cannot save ourselves. But we are capable of anything through Christ who strengthens us. Then you will see clearly the providence of God over, in, and through your life. And you will have the confidence that you will be brought through this fire, tried and purified and ready to let go of this human tent, because you seek a kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. Because you seek a relationship with a God that saves, a God of kindness and compassion. So my prayer for you today is that you stop, you take a breath, see the blessings that God has already provided. See the blessings He continues to provide. Humble your heart. Give forgiveness freely. Give forgiveness freely. Give it bountifully. More than people deserve to be forgiven. Forgive them. Show patience and compassion every day in your life, in every experience, with everybody you meet. Patience and compassion. Even when it's not deserved, I should say especially when it's not deserved. And then allow your weakness to draw on the strength of God. In our weakness, we are made strong. Blessings to you all.